Genesis chapter 12 today. I want to talk today, this may be foundational for some people, but I've been pastor long enough to know that a lot of people, they don't always have the basics down pat. Even Christians being Christians for a long time, they don't have the foundation right. And if you haven't got the foundation right, you can't build. We're going to get on to, you know, we're going to preach about the faith that makes the walls of Jericho fall. In the coming weeks, we're going to speak about the faith of David that sees giants collapse before the word of God. But initially, we've got to understand what the foundation is. Today I want to talk about what a person of faith looks like. And Abraham in the scripture is known as the father of faith. And we look to him because we are called those the seed of believing Abraham. And he is how we understand what biblical faith is through his life. And if you go to chapter 12, I want to read the first couple of verses there, just the first three verses. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God gave this instruction to Abraham. At verse 4, it tells us, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So God said to Abraham, Abraham was living in a place called Ur, or it's actually Babylon. And we know that in Babylon it was a deeply immoral society, it was an idolatrous society, they were wicked people. So he's living amongst a people who were wicked, and God said to him, I want you to get up, and I want you to leave there, and I want you to go to Canaan. And Abraham got up, and he went. I want us to just take notice here that Abraham, it says later in the scripture, he didn't know where he's going. So he didn't know what Canaan was about. He didn't know that it was a better place. Might have been. He had no idea about Canaan. God just spoke to him, get up out of where you are, go to Canaan. And Abraham immediately, it says he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And a lot of people think that Abraham was a good fellow. He was always a good fellow. But the scriptures tell us in Isaiah 55:51 that look, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. And it speaks about a pit and a hole. And we know in Joshua 24, verse 2, it tells us that Abraham's father, Terah, was an idolater. He worshipped other gods. So Abraham wasn't a believer his whole life. He began as an idolater, and like all idolaters, living in a wicked place, he was in a pit, and he was in a hole. And God called him out of that place. And God called him from that place. And God called him to leave that place. So Abraham was a sinner, and God called him to come out of that place and go to where God commanded us. And the foundation of faith, what makes Abraham righteous before God. What makes Abraham acceptable is when God called him out of that pit, when God called him out of that unrighteous place and told him to go, Abraham simply responded to God with faith. And that's the most important thing. A walk of faith cannot begin until we hear God calling us out of our pit, out of our world of sin, out of our world of idolatry. We're calling us out of all the things that God's not a part of, and we actually hear God calling us, and we come out and we separate ourselves from that stuff. There has to be a separation when we hear God call us and we respond to God. We hear his voice. We hear him calling our name. We hear him to call us to come out of darkness. And there is a very practical separation that has to be foundational to a genuine walk of faith. The scriptures are full of exhortations to come out, be separate. It says, do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers. What is fellowship of righteousness to do with lawlessness? And what does communion of light have to do with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? And what has a believer with an unbeliever? The first thing God does when he calls us, he actually calls us to come out of things that are not of God and separate ourselves to a life of following him. It's so foundational, but it's so important. So Abraham heard that. And there's a scripture I love. It says in Hebrews 13:13, so now go to him who is outside the camp. A person who is a person of faith has heard God's voice, first of all, to come out of everything that is not of God, everything that is dark, everything that is immoral. And all you know is God's calling you out. You don't know where you're going, but you're entering into a life of following him. And so there's a separation in that. And when you do that, when you hear God's voice, and you say, everyone else is into the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or whatever, I'm now coming out of that, and I'm going to walk in obedience to God. And Abraham, who was part of the culture, the wicked culture of Babylon, he said to all his friends, I'm going to Canaan that no one had ever heard of. And I just pose the question, what do you think Abraham's friends would have said to him when he said, I'm leaving and I'm going to Canaan because God's told me to? I think they would have thought he was nuts. And they would have said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Canaan. Where's that? And he would have said, I don't know. And he said, how are you going to get there? He said, I don't know that either. And they said, well, who told you to go? Well, it was God. And they would have thought, Abraham, he's leaving us, but he's very, very peculiar. And I want to tell you, as a believer, you're going to cop that. As a believer, as a true believer, as soon as you decide to walk to a different beat, to come out of darkness, to come out of the world, to come out of idolatry, which the vast majority of the world lives in, as soon as you come out of that, people are going to consider you peculiar. They're going to consider you strange. Some people are going to call you nuts. When you say, because it's from faith to faith. Sometimes God's going to call you specifically. He might call you to the mission field. He might call you to leave your job. There'll be seasons when people say, why? What would you do that for? You're a fool. But we are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people called unto God, and we must be happy and proud to be peculiar. We are different, and we are happy to be different. We are happy to be distinct. We are now people of light and not darkness, and that attracts a criticism. That attracts a place where people don't understand you. This is particularly understand with your family. It's particularly to understand that if your family is not called of God, they will consider you peculiar. But there's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. You tell them you've chosen Christ to walk God's way, they'll consider you strange. Who's ever had that? Got saved and your family all of a sudden considers you strange. It's par for the course of a walk of faith. So when we're called, walk of faith, it begins with here. All we know is God's calling me. He's called me. I heard his voice. He called me to become his property. He called me to become the property of Jesus. I responded. I came out of the world and I followed him. There's a separation that has taken place with me and the world. I now belong to God and people think I'm strange. That's all okay. That's what a walk of faith is. Now, a walk of faith also, what did that God say to Abraham? He said, get out of your country and your family and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. That's the first promise. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. So God was going to bless him. He's going to give him land and he's going to make a nation out of him. That's a good promise, isn't it? And this book is full of good promises of God to us. He promises us healing. He promises us deliverance. He promises us his provision, not as the world provides. He promises us the provision of heaven. He promises a full provision. He promises us what the Bible calls the blessing of Abraham, that we will not be a people who lack. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't the promises of God wonderful? But let me tell you, this is what is often missed about the Christians. What Christians often, why so many Christians fall away is that they don't fully understand that there is often a long period between the promise is certain, it's yes and amen, God's word can never fail. But what he promises us, there's often a long period between what I call promise and fulfillment. The Bible says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, he swore by himself." And then in verse 15, he said, "So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." He said, "I'm going to give you the land." I want to make a point. Even when Abraham died, he only owned his wife's grave plot. And the promise of becoming a great nation required him to have children, and he had a barren wife. It took 20 years for that promise to manifest, that miracle of his barren wife giving birth. It took 20 years. It's a wonderful miracle. It was all God's promises are yes and amen. They cannot be denied. But it took 20 years of believing God for that promise to manifest. So what am I saying is that we have to understand that God called Abraham out, and he called him not just for the sake of following him, but he said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm promising you three things. As you follow me, I'm going to make three things happen. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to make a people out of you, a nation out of you." Three things he promised. And Abraham believed God. But it took a long time. It took a long time for those promises to manifest. Often it's overlooked how many, you know, we read about the great people in the scriptures. You read through Hebrews 11 and you read about how all these great men of God, Noah, and they endured and they obtained the promise. God made him a promise. and promised him extraordinary things, things that were impossible. And God made it happen. God performed his word. He perfected his word. We often forget that Noah, when God promised him that he'd preserve him through the flood, and he promised to him that he was going to bring judgment on the world, when God told him to build the ark, it was 100 years. How do you think Noah was actually in year 90 building that ark? Never rained. God promised me this is going to be my means of salvation. When 90 years of waiting for the word of God to become manifest. 20 years of enduring until his barren wife conceived. God's word will never fail. Never, ever, ever, ever fail. But it said after he patiently endured, he received the promise. I want to tell you, to be a person of faith and to be a person who walks with God and receives the promises of God and sees the promises of God manifest in our life, sees the miracles of God manifest, requires patient endurance. There are no microwave Christians. There's no microwave overcomers. Some things in the Christian life come quickly, but some things, many, many things, we need to be patient. We need to know what it is to wait upon God. You know why God makes us wait? James, I love this scripture because it's just so beautiful. It's not the miracle God's most interested in. It's actually interested in what you're becoming. And James 1 said, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It's as we wait upon God and as we trust him and as we continue in that place, our character is actually being shaped into the likeness of Christ. Patience and waiting does more than we could ever understand. Just waiting and trusting and trusting, it's actually perfecting our character in the waiting. How do you think somebody waits on God, on the promises of God? What's the key to being patient? Year. Sometimes some people have believed for healing and they've believed for years. And they're still fully persuaded that it's yes and amen. They know they are healed, but the manifestation hasn't yet arrived. I've known many people that have been healed after years of believing and enduring. In our microwave society, that's not always popular, is it? Let me just read something about Abraham that is just... It's very instructional. It says this, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. It's in Hebrews 11, verse 9. In a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and our maker is God. It says of Moses that he, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He also came out of Egypt, left Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses endured, persevered, seeing him who is invisible. Abraham waited, but he waited for the city which has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. What does that mean? It means both in waiting for the promise to manifest, both Abraham and Moses knew they were going to heaven. And they knew that the greatest promise they had and the greatest reality they had, they were now God's treasure. And heaven was theirs. And When I speak about heaven, people are often swallowed because there's not a great deal of talk about heaven in the church anymore. But it's so important in enduring, in waiting on the things of God, that we don't get discouraged and fall away. It's so important to have the knowledge and the vision that this world is not our own. This world is not my destiny. This world is not my home. But I'm just a sojourner, as they we're just passing through. We have become God's in responding to that call to come out of unrighteousness and out of darkness. We have become inheritors of everything, and that everything includes heaven. Do you ever just sit and think about? Sometimes I do. Ezekiel 48 speaks about drinking from the river of life. A God promise God's made to me. He gave me a word many years ago from Revelation chapter 3, that when I get to heaven, he's going to write a new name on me, and he's going to make me a pillar in the temple of his God. You think about that stuff. You think about that. If our minds are upwardly focused, if our minds are fixed on the presence of God, if our minds have an eternal perspective, I want to tell you, the stresses, the stuff in life, it doesn't make you sweat so much. But if all you think about is the here and now, if all you do is look down, if all you look about is what's going on in your life, every little thing matters. But I want to tell you, to patiently endure, it is so important we have an eternal perspective of our life. Lot, he wanted the goodies, and he didn't have his mind fixed on the things above. He had no vision of that eternal city. And Lot didn't do so good. He couldn't endure. Abraham, God gave him the land of Canaan. He just lived in tents and didn't worry. It didn't worry him. Waiting on the word of God when he didn't have very much at all, it didn't worry him, because he had a greater vision for his life. It's so important that we have a realization, understanding, no matter what happens in this world, no matter how long the promise is taking, we have everything that ultimately matters. Heaven is mine. That's why Jesus says, don't rejoice that the demons come out. Don't rejoice. Just rejoice your names are written in heaven. It's so important that you have a vision and have the understanding that you have become a citizen of heaven. That what happens in this life, yes, it's not ultimately important. You have heaven eternally in the presence of God. I'm just passing through this world. This is my assignment, not my home. Just to bring as much glory to God as I can. But I have heaven. Abraham had that. I tell you, it makes so much difference to your ability to endure. But if you want the things of the world, if the things of the world are all that's important, it's very hard to persevere. It's very hard not to become discouraged. But I tell you, if you understand the glory of heaven, if you understand what God has prepared for you, where you're going, it makes you not sweat all the bumps and the things in this world. It makes such a difference. And God wants to bring a vision of heaven, an understanding of heaven, a focus of heaven back to the heart of the church. So someone who's got the foundation of faith, they've come out and they are walking towards the promises of God. But they understand the importance of enduring and waiting. But what is so important, a person of faith also is positive. You know why they're positive? We are peculiar, but we're also positive. Because they actually know that in the midst of responding to the voice of God, we don't know where we're going. Abraham did not know exactly where he is going. And you don't know exactly where your walk with God of obedience is going to take you. None of us know where he's really going to send us, what he's going to require us each day. We're just committed to following that voice and coming out of the world, remaining separate, distinct from the world, remaining his peculiar people. And we really don't know the specifics of where we're going like Abraham. We've just committed to following him, his voice. He's the shepherd. We are following him, not really knowing the ins and outs, the details like Abraham did. And he's promised us these things that may not happen overnight, but we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. But this is what faith knows, that as I come out, As I forego, as I leave behind, as I separate myself, as I leave it all behind to follow God, to follow His voice, to just become His, obedient to His voice, and believe on His promises, not knowing when they're going to manifest, in the midst of that life, God promises that He blesses me. That I will be blessed, that I will be provided for, that I will be satisfied in that walk. That's the most important thing a person of faith knows. That in that obedience, in that coming out, it's so important to know that, because we need to be a positive people. We're created to need the rewards, and God is a rewarder of those people that seek Him. That in that obedience, in that waiting, in the midst of it, God is going to give me a magnificent, fulfilled, wonderful life that nothing of the world can compare to. That's what a person of faith knows. That not only will I give you the land, you may have to wait for that. I'll make a nation of you. You may have to wait for that. But I will bless you. You don't have to wait for that. You don't have to wait for that. You are a blessed people. And the Bible says that Christ became a curse for us that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. Everywhere he walked, he accumulated. He accumulated. He accumulated. He prospered. And you know what's so wonderful about the story? You don't have to be perfect for God to bless you. God said, get out. Take no away. He took Lot. He said, leave your family behind. He took Lot. Lot caused him a lot of pain, because every little bit of disobedience in our life always causes us pain. Because we've got to ultimately turn that disobedience into an obedience, which he had to do with Lot. There's pain in that. And he didn't stay in the land. He went down to Egypt. But I want to tell you, someone who has responded to God with a full heart, I'm leaving behind the things that are not of God. All the stuff I know is wrong. All the stuff in my heart I just know is not good before. I'm leaving that. We call it sin. I'm leaving that to follow God. I'm leaving that to believe the promises that He makes to me in that word. I'm believing for these things, and I'm waiting on these things, knowing that He is faithful and that He is true. I will continue to wait and believe and trust in this word. That's what a person of faith looks like, and that person is blessed. And I want to tell you, the blessing of God is not like the blessing of man. The blessing, a person who is blessed of God, even in the waiting. You know what you feel like? The person who is blessed of God feels like they have everything, even before the promise is manifest, because they have Him. They walk with God. They know they have heard His voice. They know the promise is certain, yes, and they know that no matter what happens in this life, their future is glorious. Their future is glorious. I just want to say today, do you understand, this is the foundation, do you understand as a Christian, this world is no longer yours? Its value system, what it values, you've actually rejected it. All the things this world considers important, you've actually turned. You know, this world has a system. It says to women, you've got to be thin to be valuable. You've actually rejected that. You've said, I'm not part of that anymore. I march to a different beat. Where God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you actually come out, made a choice to come out and simply follow God? That's the foundation. Do you know He has promised so many things to His children? He's promised you goodness. He's promised you wholeness. He's promised you healing. He's promised to prosper you. All these things He has promised. God wants you to be walking into those promises, believing they're going to manifest in your life, no longer how long it takes. They are already yes and amen. because he's made the promise to you. If you live like that, if you live as a person who's obeyed him to come out and are walking towards the fulfillment of his promise, I want to tell you, you are blessed. And if you're not living in the blessing, I suggest maybe you haven't made those choices. Let's get the praise and worship team up. The Bible speaks about the blessing of Abraham. You don't have to be perfect. Your faith doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be sincere before God. You know, the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. God has promised us that Abraham was blessed. Abraham was a friend of God. You know what God did for Abraham? He fought all his enemies. As he walked in that place separated from God, God fought battles for Abraham. He fought against five kings for Abraham. He wouldn't let anything touch Abraham. He continued when Abraham was brought before kings and his life was in trouble, he continued to deliver Abraham. Because he just made that choice. He didn't know really where he was going. He didn't have all the details. But he was no longer of the system of the world. He was following God. He was believing God. The promises of God. Are you believing? Are you believing? If you're sick, are you believing by the wounds of Jesus you are healed? You may be waiting, but are you believing? You're already healed. If you have issues of provision, are you believing? Jesus became poor so you could become rich and ever, that you know no lack. You may wait, but are you believing that? Because as you believe, without faith it's impossible to believe. As you believe, God will bless your life. Every part of it. Every part of it. Let's just stand. Let's just stand. Father, I thank you. You want us to understand what a walk of faith is, Lord. Father, you do. You are zealous. You say, Israel, you are mine. You call us. You call us to yourself. You're jealous for us. You call us out of the world to become yours and to obey you. You make us so many promises in this word, Lord. They're all yes and amen. And as we believe that you are faithful, that you perform your word, that everything you say to us, you will do. As we live in that place, Lord, we are blessed. Father, I would ask right now that if we are in a place where we are not believing, where we're falling short of trusting, that you will perform and perfect what you've promised us, like you promised Abraham. Father, I ask that you would show us this morning anything that is blocking our healing, anything that is blocking the very blessing of Abraham manifesting in our life. Father, would you show us? Would you show us? Would you show us here this morning, Lord? And I want to thank you that your sheep do hear your voice. Even somewhere here today, God's calling your name to become his, to walk with him. And he wants you to respond by just saying, yes, I hear your voice. I hear your voice. And as best I can, today I'm going to start obeying you. I'm going to come out of all the things that I know is wrong. Just that I know is I'm going to start obeying you. God's speaking to someone here and he's calling you forward. If that's you, I want you to come forward at the end of this meeting. We're going to pray for you. Somebody else here, you're growing weary. You're growing weary, and God wants to give you a vision of heaven. Father, let that vision be released right now in the name of Jesus. Let us understand that we're going to be on streets of gold, drinking of the river of life for a million, million, million years. Give us a vision of that, Lord. Give us a vision of heaven, Lord. Somebody else, you just know there's an area that you've stopped believing and trusting God. Father, even now as you prayed for Peter, I pray that person's faith will not fail, that you'll strengthen them. Someone here is, you're waiting to be healed physically. Jesus took your the stripes for that healing. And by his wounds you are healed. He wants you to praise him and bless him for that healing. As you believe him, he's going to bless you every area of your life. Every area. Father, I thank you. You've promised us the blessing of Abraham. You say that we will be blessed as we go out, and you'll be blessed as we come in. Father, today we claim that today, that we, as we walk before you, are a blessed people. We receive all the blessing, every spiritual blessing, peace like a river, joy that can't even be explained, healing and life. We receive every spiritual blessing through Jesus today because you are good. You are good. Father, I thank you for the foundation of faith today is laid, and you will build upon it for all the people, Lord. It is from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And we give you all praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.